Kenny and Christian have been friends since Pee Wee football. When I was 13 and Christian was 11, he was big, but not huge like he is now. One afternoon, I walked in on him changing, and the thing was enormous, even back then. I mean, dangling enormous. And the waitress brought our drinks. And what? What's the rest of the story? She shrugged. That's it. So you've been pining to see his junk again for 15 years? She sipped her drink with a wicked smile. Pretty much. He stayed in California for a few years after college. Then he came back for the NYPD. He's a cop. Yep. I ran into him on the street a few weeks ago and we started texting. He looks so good in his uniform. The shirt, the pants. I'm totally making him cuff me and play cops and robbers. Good for you. He seems into you. Couldn't keep his eyes off of you even when hot Amazonian woman was standing next to us. What about you? How is that delicious boss of yours? I lifted the plastic toothpick from my martini and slipped off an olive using my teeth. Even more delicious than this olive. And you know how I love my martini condiments. I sighed. But he's still my boss. I absolutely get the reason you've put up the wall at work to separate business and pleasure. Not having one cost you a job you loved. I'd probably do the same thing, but damn, I might consider making an exception for that man. Well, he's definitely trying to get me to make an exception. Somehow, he got me to agree to twice a week meal sharing. Meal sharing? Like a date. Nope. Sharing a meal in a non-dating capacity? Let me get this straight. You're sharing a meal twice a week alone with him. That's right. In a non-dating capacity. Which means what? You won't be fucking at the end of the night? I sipped my drink. Exactly. Jules cracked up. He talked you into this crap? What do you mean? You're dating him, and don't even know it. I might love this man. I wasn't dating him. Was I? We were just sharing a meal twice a week, getting to know each other. Not seeing other people. And thinking of each other while we took care of ourselves. OMG, I am dating him. Jules sipped her drink and watched me, amused, as I came around to the same conclusion she'd gotten to in 2 seconds flat. Holy shit. Am I really this big of an idiot? Sweetheart, I know you. You didn't put up that wall to keep him out. You put it up to watch him break it down to get to you. I absolutely needed another drink. Make that a double. For the next hour and a half, Jules and I took advantage of the free drinks. We were in a $15 martini bar, and I was glad we didn't have to pay the bill. Sometime after midnight, we'd reached the giggle stage of our inebriation. We were midway between sober and slurring, settling nicely into what I like to call the confessional stage, where everything seemed crystal clear and sharing it seemed liberating. Jules's well-hung bouncer hadn't yet joined us, so we had frequent visitors offering to buy us drinks or asking us to dance. Two clean-cut guys stopped by our table.
"Can we buy you ladies a drink?"
The broader one smiled confidently. Dimples. Damn. I was pretty sure he didn't get turned down often. Thanks, but our drinks are on the house tonight, and I have a massive crush on my boss. One eyebrow perked.
Lucky boss. How about a dance, then?
I looked to Jules.
Not me, she said. I've been waiting 15 years, remember? Christian is going to be off soon.
Politely, I declined. No thanks. Not tonight. After they'd walked away, Jules said,
The tall one was hot. Why didn't you dance with him? What's the point?
I brought my drink to my lips to sip, only to discover after tilting my head back that my glass was empty.
Of dancing or of men in general? Because my answers would be pretty different.
Of dancing with him. I'm just going to compare.
Jules gave me a funny smile. Tell me what you like about Boss Man.
He's smart, cocky, hard, but sort of soft at the same time. Does that make sense?
I thought she was distracted, looking for Christian, when I caught her eyes over my head. Are you even paying attention to me?
I am.
She tossed back the rest of the liquid in her fancy glass.
So, what were you saying? You liked his persistence? That it was a turn-on?
I hadn't said that, but she wasn't wrong. I swear, if he pushed me up against the door of my office, I'd have no willpower. Him being the boss is why I'm keeping away from him, yet his bossiness totally does it for me.
Jules was grinning like a Cheshire cat.
What the hell is wrong with you? When she just kept on smiling, I knew. I knew. He's standing right behind me, isn't he? A warm hand touched my bare shoulder. I closed my eyes and mumbled to my best friend. I'm going to kill you. She shimmied out of the booth and kissed me on the cheek.
I should check to see if my Hulk is off work yet. Be back in a bit.
She wiggled her fingers in a cute wave.
Hey, boss man.
Then she disappeared. Chase didn't even have the decency to feign modesty. He slipped into the seat next to me rather than sitting across the table as Jules had been. God, I wanted to smack that cocky, full-of-himself smile off his face. His gorgeous, perfectly chiseled, God, I want to kiss you even more now that I'm drunk, face.
What are you doing here, Chase?
Making your dreams come true, apparently.
I turned, facing him head on for the first time, which was probably a mistake. He was too good looking for my sober thoughts. Alcohol could only make things less bearable. Tonight, he wore a tuxedo. Or, more properly described, he had on a crisp white shirt unbuttoned at the collar, and a bow tie hung loosely around his neck. The sleeves of his shirt were rolled up, revealing tanned, toned forearms. He really had great forearms. I was a sucker for forearms. Had I said that already? Even if I had, it warranted repeating. But the thing that did me in was, surprisingly, his hair. Normally unruly, tonight it was parted dramatically at the side and slicked back. Couple that with his flawless, tan skin, clean-shaven face, and a carved, masculine jawline, and he could have just walked out of the Great Gatsby. It totally threw me off. You look so different.
Different bad or different good?
I couldn't lie. I'd had too much truth serum. You look like an old-time movie star. Very classically handsome. I like it.
I'll be investing in additional hair gel first thing tomorrow morning.
A little smile I tried to hold back escaped. Chase ran his thumb down my cheek, then traced the corner of my lips.
Maybe a case, if it brings out that smile,
he added. What are you doing here?
You said you were coming here the other day.
I had, but shouldn't you be at the charity event?
It's almost over. Besides, I couldn't stop thinking about you all night.
His arm was slung casually over the back of the bench seat we shared, and his fingers began to caress the exposed skin of my shoulders.
I wasn't sure if I should come. And now, I'm glad I did.
Why is that?
You like my persistence. What was that you said? My bossiness turns you on?
I rolled my eyes. I need another drink.
Yes, let's both. Triple peppermint schnapps.
Chase flagged down the waitress and ordered us both drinks. Looking around the busy club, he asked,
So, do you do this often? Go out clubbing with your friends?
Not much anymore. I like to dance, but it's kind of a meat market. His finger stopped tracing.
Is that what you were doing tonight? Shopping for meat?
Nope. Just enjoying a night out with my friend.
Because if meat is what you're looking for...
I smacked his abs playfully, but I could feel how hard his body was underneath his shirt. Note to self, keep your hands at your sides at all times for your own safety.
Is this how you meet women? You go stalking at clubs looking all sexy at midnight?
Not generally. This is the first time I've been inside a club, unless it was for an event I had to attend, in years.
Where do you meet women, then?
Various places.
That's specific.
I lifted a brow.
Okay, let's see. The last woman I went out with, I met on a flight from California.
Was that Bridget?
No.
Where did you meet Bridget?
A party.
Work party?
The waitress brought our drinks, and Chase gulped half his glass.
Thirsty?
Just trying to take the edge off.
So, Bridget, what kind of a party?
I'd prefer not to talk about other women when I'm sitting here with you.
Okay. What would you like to talk about, then?
Why don't we start with all the things I thought about doing to you tonight?
His gaze slid down my face and took its time as it appreciated my body in the form-fitting little black dress I wore. Watching him look at me, with all that hunger, weakened my resistance. I swallowed. Chase. He responded by lifting my hand and bringing it to his lips for a gentle kiss.
How much have you had to drink tonight?
Enough.
That's a shame.
Why?
Because I'm not a man who takes advantage only because peppermint schnapps has relaxed a woman's uncertainty.
It was my turn to gulp from my glass. I was feeling lightheaded, and it had nothing to do with the alcohol.
So are you saying that no matter what I say or do, you won't be sleeping with me tonight?
The heat in his eyes said otherwise.
That's right.
I smiled devilishly.
That sounds like a challenge.
Dance with me. Chapter 17. Reese. I woke to a nibble on the shell of my ear. What the? Last night, oh my God, did I? Panicked, I momentarily froze in bed as I racked my hungover brain, trying to remember the end of the evening. I was never so relieved when a paw smacked me in the jaw. Jesus, I grumbled, turning to find Tallulah licking my ear and swatting my face. I pulled the sheet over my head, blocking ugly kitty access. Undeterred, she climbed on top of me and settled on my chest.
Meow.
She nuzzled at the sheet, hiding me. I attempted to lift my head, but it hurt too much.
What? What do you want?
Meow.
Ugh. Even her tiny cry hurt. I would have sworn there was a little drummer getting warmed up inside my skull. There was no rhythm to the pounding, just a hammer wailing against the bass. Then the snare, followed by a few slams of the cymbals. Oh, what the hell did I drink last night? I remembered Chase showing up and dragging him out onto the dance floor so I could rub my body against his and tempt his willpower. Oh, God. I'd made it a game. See if I could get Chase to give in. We'd laughed over shots of disgusting peppermint schnapps, and Christian and Jules had eventually joined in. The two of them were looking mighty cozy, I remembered. Things got a bit fuzzier after that. There was the cab ride home. I remembered being tired. So tired. I just needed to close my eyes for a bit, put my head down to rest while we drove across town. My head. So sleepy. I'd rested it, all right. In Chase's lap. I remembered he'd woken me. When I'd lifted my sleepy head, I'd brushed against the crotch of his pants. Oh, God. He was hard. And I made a comment about it. Awesome. Chase had helped me out of the car and told the cabbie to keep the meter running. The elevator had taken forever. When we stepped inside, I leaned against his chest and took a deep breath, smelling him up close. Oh, God. I told him he smelled good enough to eat. I suggested he purchase a cabin in the woods and chop wood shirtless. His arms were wrapped tight around me as we walked toward my apartment. In hindsight, I might have actually needed the support to walk. We'd arrived at my door. I vaguely remembered wrapping my arms around his neck and inviting him in. He smiled and shook his head.
There's nothing I'd like more than to come inside. And I mean that in more ways than one.
He'd kissed the top of my head. The top of my head.
But not this way. Get some sleep.
Taking my keys from my hand, he'd opened all of my locks and waited for me to go inside. The last things I remembered were his arms over his head as he leaned against the doorframe, and him saying,
"We'll finish this game next week. Things are going to be a lot more fun around the office. That's for damn sure."
I'd canceled my lunch date with Chase a little later that morning, too hungover to get out of bed. When he tried to push me into rescheduling for Monday, I was noncommittal and eventually stopped responding to his texts. A line had been crossed, and I didn't know how to back up other than cut myself off completely. It was my own fault, and Monday morning I was adamant about fixing what I'd screwed up.
Morning.
Chase stood in the doorway of my office with the exact same stance he'd had the other night at my apartment door. I had psyched myself up all day yesterday. I was a professional. I could put what happened Saturday night behind me and work around Chase like nothing had happened. I glanced at my phone. 7:05 on Monday morning, and I'd already failed. Great. Just great, Reese. Chase grinned like he knew I was thinking unprofessional thoughts. I folded my hands on my desk.
Good morning, Mr. Parker.
His brows jumped.
Is that how we're going to play this?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Mr. Parker. Chase walked to my desk.
I like the sound of you calling me Mr. Parker. You'll have to keep it up.
I swallowed as he moved even closer. My voice showed signs of weakening.
No problem, Mr. Parker.
How about please, Mr. Parker?
Please, Mr. Parker, what?
Just wanted to hear how good it will sound coming from your lips.
He closed the distance between us, coming around to the other side of my desk and leaning his hip casually against it. He reached out and rubbed my bottom lip with his thumb, speaking directly to my mouth.
Please, Mr. Parker. It will be coming from these lips. Mark my words.
What the hell did I get myself into?
It was ironic that I was supposed to be preparing for a focus group when I was completely unable to focus. The morning blown by my wandering mind, I was glad Monday afternoon was tightly scheduled so there would be no more room for screwing around. The first of two meetings was at 1 o'clock in the large conference room on the east side of the building. It was next to Chase's office, and I couldn't stop myself from peeking inside as I passed. With the blinds open, his office was a virtual fishbowl. He sat at his desk, leaning back in his leather executive chair with one hand behind his head. The other held his corded desk phone while he talked, looking up at the ceiling. Momentarily distracted, I stopped paying attention to where I was going and walked straight into Josh. Upon impact, I squeezed the tall coffee in my hand, causing the lid to pop off. Then I bobbled the laptop and notepad in my other hand. As I leaned forward in a fruitless attempt to stop everything from falling, I proceeded to pour the entire contents of my coffee all over the front of my blouse. And everything fell to the ground, followed by my empty cup.
Shit!
I'm sorry, I walked too fast, Josh said.
No, it's my fault. I wasn't paying attention.
He looked at my shirt. There was steam coming off of it.
That must have been pretty hot coffee. Are you burned?
Chase came out of his office with some paper towels, handed them to me, and bent to pick up my laptop and notepad. Handing the dripping equipment to Josh, he said,
"Why don't you dry off the laptop, and I'll take care of Reese."
I blotted at my blouse, but it wasn't much use. I'd spilled a 40-ounce coffee, and the skin underneath was almost as soaked as the fabric of my sheer shirt.
"You need more than a handful of paper towels. Come with me."
Chase guided me into his office. I was hyper-aware of his hands splayed out at the small of my back, a few of his fingers fanning to that place that isn't quite ass, but no longer back, either. I was pretty sure it was innocent, but my thoughts were anything but. I was pissed at myself, at how unprofessional I was, and I projected my frustration at Chase.
"This is all your fault, you know."
"My fault?
You have me distracted today."
Instead of feeling bad that he was the cause of my mess, Chase looked pleased.
"I can't wait to see the mess you make when I actually try to distract you."
He reached into a closet and pulled out a white dress shirt.
"Here, put this on."
"I can't wear your shirt."
"Why not?"
He flashed a dirty grin.
"It'll be practice for when you're making me pancakes the morning after."
I hated that I visualized myself standing in front of that big, stainless steel double oven stove I knew he had in his house wearing one of his dress shirts. I'd gone from acting bothered to hot and bothered in less than 10 seconds. Chase caught the look on my face and chuckled.
"There are towels in my private bathroom."
His eyes dropped to my chest, where my nipples stood up proudly through my soaked shirt and grumbled.
"Get out of that wet shirt before I help you out of it right in the middle of my office with the blinds open."
I didn't doubt he would do it for a minute, so I quickly trudged to the bathroom, hoping I'd also find my wit there, along with a clean shirt. A minute later, I looked in the mirror, happy with my reflection. I must say, I totally rocked a man's shirt. Even though it was 10 sizes too big, with a few buttons left open at the top and a knot at the waist, Chase's dress shirt actually looked kind of cute with my black pencil skirt. I was rolling up the sleeves when there was a light knock at the door.
"You decent?"
"Except for my thoughts about you."
"Yes."
When Chase opened the door, he had a folded T-shirt in his hands and was looking down at it.
"I have this old brown T-shirt that was stuffed in my gym bag. If you want to try..."
He paused, stopping in his tracks as he looked up at me.
"Wow. Looks better on you."
Earlier in the day, the man had told me he was going to make me beg, and that hadn't made me blush. Yet something as simple as "looks better on you" had my cheeks heating. It wasn't so much the words as the intimacy with which he said them. He stepped into the bathroom and took over the rolling of the sleeves.
Let me.
We exchanged a few silent smiles as he worked on the shirt.
How are you feeling today?
He asked.
Better? Glad to hear it. We're sharing a meal tomorrow night.
Are you telling me or asking me? He finished rolling and waited until I looked up.
Telling. You owe me, considering what a gentleman I was the other night.
He had been gallant. Thank you for that, by the way. You were very respectful, and I didn't make it easy for you.
No, you definitely made it hard.
I shoved his shoulder playfully. Come on, boss man, we're already late to the meeting. Elaine Dennis, the VP of Advanced Focus Market Research, had just started her presentation when we walked into the conference room a few minutes late. Her pitch detailed her company's experience moderating focus groups in the women's industry, and she spoke a lot about the importance of running groups in different geographic areas.
The women's products industry is very different in New York and the Midwest. Most women want the same things. Smooth skin, to feel beautiful and pampered, to look attractive to the opposite sex. But what works for selling beauty can be quite disparate in various geographic areas.
Getting comfortable in my seat, I attempted to put the last 15 minutes behind me and took notes as she worked through her presentation. I'd done plenty of marketing focus groups during my years with Fresh Look, but there was always something new to learn. The ad world changed by the minute, and advertising to women was even more of a challenge. Let's face it, we women wear our right to change our minds like a badge of honor. What we want today could be passé by tomorrow. I was sitting two seats away from the presenter on the right side of the long conference table. Chase sat a half dozen chairs away from her on the far end of the opposite side of the table. It was the first time I'd noticed he didn't sit at the open head of the table during marketing meetings. He was the kind of boss who had his eye on everything and participated but didn't feel the need to constantly remind people he was in charge. Holding my pen to my lips, I wondered if he did it on purpose. When my eyes flicked back to him, he was watching me intently. I looked away, but 2 seconds later, I glanced back again. He looked around the room to see if anyone was paying attention to him. Of course, everyone else was watching the presentation, as we both should have been. Then he mouthed to me, "I really love that you read lips." I smiled coyly and scanned the room before looking back. I felt like we were in middle school, trying not to be caught passing notes. His gaze was glued to my lips as his mouth formed soundless words. "I also really love your lips." Flustered, I shifted in my chair to face the woman giving the presentation. I managed to hold out for less than 5 minutes before my eyes wandered back. This time, Chase didn't even bother to see whether anyone was watching. He mouthed, "I really like my shirt on you." I shot him a look of warning. It didn't scare him one bit. He continued, and like an ass, I couldn't look away. "I can't wait to see what's underneath it." I wanted to kill him. I also wanted to hear what he was going to do once he saw what was underneath. Luckily, my focus was forced to return to the room when I heard my name spoken. Josh had opened a discussion on in-store product placement testing versus focus groups and asked me to share my experience from Fresh Look. It took a minute to regain my footing, but marketing wasn't just my job. It was a passion. Once I began talking, that passion took over. Over the next hour and a half, I did my best not to fidget when I found Chase watching me. At one point, I was putting on chapstick, something I did a dozen times a day, and Chase was mesmerized watching me line my lips. It made between my legs tingle, and I squirmed in my seat.
when it was Chase's turn to speak, I admired how he dominated the room with his thoughts and ideas. He was so different than my boss at Fresh Look, a typical CEO whose presence had been felt in almost a bullying kind of way. There was no way Scott Eichmann was not sitting at the head of the table during a meeting like this. My old boss would have been there with his arms folded over his chest, making everyone around him sit up straighter. Chase's style was understated, and he captured the room with brains and natural charisma. He caught me watching him while he spoke, and the corner of his mouth twitched up. Luckily, unlike me, he didn't become tongue-tied when being watched so closely. After all the questions had been answered, Elaine went in to close the deal.
I know you said your timeline was evolving, but we have two focus groups available this week, if you'd like to jump in. One is in Kansas, and one here in New York City.
Of course, she'd also spent a good deal of her presentation speaking about the importance of collecting feedback from the Midwest, in addition to both the coasts. And she just happened to have two such groups available for us to join in the next few days. I had to hand it to her, though. She gave a good sales pitch. Josh told her we'd get back to her quickly, and the projector had not even cooled down from her presentation when the second appointment was escorted into the room. I was disappointed that Chase had said he wouldn't be able to sit in on the second focus group presentation. Also relieved I'd have nothing to distract me. When the meetings finally ended at 6, we sat around the conference room discussing the two companies. We agreed unanimously that Elaine's Advance Focus was the better firm to handle our focus groups. Josh looked to Lindsay and me.
Think we can pull together the rest of the samples and presentations in time to join the groups Elaine has running this week in Kansas and here in the city? He asked.
We can, Lindsay said. It'll be close, but we can pull it together tomorrow, I think.
Josh nodded.
I need to be here for a photo shoot we have going on the rest of the week uptown. So, which one of you is staying in New York and which is heading to Kansas?
Lindsay looked to me and I said, I'll do whatever you don't want to do.
Good, because I hate to fly. I'd rather cover the New York focus group.
Well, that was easy, Josh said. Chase may want to join you for some of the focus group here, Lindsay. Let him know when you're confirmed with the details.
She nodded.
Will do.
While I was going to miss out on spending time with Chase, I knew deep down that I needed some distance between us. A few thousand miles might be the only thing that could separate us enough to let me clear my head. Chapter 18. Reese. My flight was booked for early on Wednesday, so I'd have the afternoon to set up at Advanced Focus's Kansas City Consumer Research Office for the first focus group session on Thursday morning. Chase had been out of the office all Tuesday afternoon, so I'd texted him that I wouldn't be able to have dinner. He responded with one word. Fine. He probably thought I was trying to blow him off again after I'd let myself get out of hand this weekend. Now, it was nearly 6:30 Wednesday morning, and I was getting ready to head to the airport when he finally expanded on his previous text. Chase, I'll take a rain check, but this time I'm collecting it. There wasn't time to text back. The car service was coming at 6:30, and my elevator could sometimes take a few minutes. I zipped my suitcase closed, tossed my phone in my purse, and gave Ugly Kitty a quick pet. Your real owner is going to take care of you while I'm gone. Make sure she doesn't go through my shit. I stroked Tallulah's head. You be a good little Ugly Kitty and claw my mom's ankles when she starts rummaging through my underwear drawer, okay? A dark town car was waiting in front of my building when I got downstairs. Even though my flight wasn't for 2.5 hours, I began to stress when we hit a dead stop on our way to the tunnel. Taking a deep breath, I began to relax when we finally made it out of Manhattan, only to panic again when the other side of the tunnel was worse than the city. "What's going on?" I asked the driver. "This is bad even for rush hour traffic."
"Construction. It's supposed to end by 6 each morning, but the laborers must want the overtime."
He shrugged and pointed to the road ahead of us, which was a sea of brake lights as three lanes attempted to converge into one. As we inched our way forward over the next hour, it killed me to discover that although the cones were out for miles, there wasn't actually any construction going on anymore. Checking my watch, I realized there was a distinct possibility I could miss my flight if traffic didn't clear soon. On a good day, I was a nervous flyer. The added stress of possibly being late caused my heart to accelerate even more. Needing to distract myself, I took out my phone. A new text had just arrived. "Mom, you need to clean out your refrigerator more often. You have expired pickles." Really? Was she hiding outside in an alleyway when I left? Just couldn't wait to go in and start her investigation. I'd left Ugly Kitty with a full dish of food. It wasn't even necessary for her to stop by until tomorrow. I'd fix her. Screwing with her would take my mind off of my upcoming flight. "Reese, don't throw it out. I keep the expired stuff to feed to Tallulah." Moving on, the next text was the one I hadn't answered yet from Chase, about the rain check for the dinner I'd canceled last night. "Reese, won't be back until the weekend. My boss wanted to get rid of me, so he sent me to Kansas." After responding to a few more texts and emails, I successfully took my mind off how late I was running. I arrived at JFK with 35 minutes before takeoff and hauled ass to a kiosk for check-in. When I spotted the length of the security line up ahead, I almost broke down and cried. Desperate, I walked over to a TSA agent. "There's no way I'm going to make my flight if I wait in this line. The tunnel took forever to get through, and there was construction on the LIE. Any chance I can cut ahead? I'm traveling for business, and I really can't miss my flight."
"Ticket?"
She held out a plastic glove-covered hand and looked at me like she heard the same sob story 100 times a day. Handing it back to me, she pointed over her shoulder.
"First class line to the left."
I let out a breath when I saw there was no line where she was sending me. "Thank you so much." Of course, my gate was at the other end of the terminal, but I managed to get through security and down to the boarding area just as they announced last call. Since there was a small line to board, I caught my breath and walked up to the ticket counter to see about changing the middle seat I'd been issued when I purchased. "Is there any chance I could switch my middle seat? I know I'm late and the last to board, but I figured it couldn't hurt to ask." "We're pretty full, but let me check." The attendant took my ticket and punched a bunch of numbers into the computer. Furrowing her brow, she said, "You actually don't have a middle seat. You have an aisle." She slid the ticket back to me and pointed. "Row 2. That made no sense. I was in row 30-something when I bought the ticket. "Not anymore. You're in an aisle seat in first class. You must have been upgraded." The line to board had dwindled, and who was I to argue about being in first class anyway? When I reached row 2, I pulled my purse from my shoulder and shoved it under the aisle seat. The window seat was empty, but I noticed the New York Times folded in half atop where there was no passenger. I opened the overhead compartment and checked for room to store my bag before reaching down to grab my suitcase handle. A large hand startled me when it covered mine.
"Here, let me."
My head whipped toward the man standing next to me, but I already knew whom I'd find.
"What's going on in that head of yours?"
Chase asked. I'd been quiet since finding him on the plane. I was a nervous flyer to begin with, and having Chase surprise me the way he did had thrown me for a loop. My heart was beating out of control as we began to barrel down the runway. I gripped the armrest between us and gave him a curt answer. I hate takeoff. And landing. All the stuff in the middle is fine. Chase covered my hand with his and squeezed. He didn't let go when we were in the air. Once our altitude leveled, I let out a deep breath and my shoulders relaxed. Why didn't you tell me you were taking this trip?
It was a last-minute thing.
I squinted, wondering if he had planned this all along.
How last minute?
He looked me straight in the eyes, and I could see his apprehension.
I don't even have an overnight bag.
What do you mean you don't have a bag?
I left my house this morning with every intention of going to the office.
He paused and ran a hand through his hair, muttering the rest.
Not even sure how I got here anymore.
Are you serious?
Shaking his head, he said,
You'll be the one sharing your shirt with me this time.
I don't think my shirt would fit you.
So you want me shirtless, then? I knew it.
The flight attendant came by and gave us menus.
Can I get you something to drink?
Chase answered without looking at his menu.
We'll take two mimosas.
I looked at him.
It's barely 9 in the morning.
It's a special occasion.
The flight attendant smiled and took the menus.
Are you celebrating something?
Chase's hand still covered mine on the armrest. He lifted them, linked my fingers with his, and brought my hand to his mouth for a kiss.
It's our honeymoon.
Wow, congratulations! That's wonderful. Are you connecting through Kansas, or is that your final destination today?
We're staying in Kansas. The new Mrs. is a huge Wizard of Oz fan and wants to hit the museum.
He pointed with his chin down to our feet. I happened to be dressed in all black and wearing red heels.
She gets a little carried away sometimes.
The flight attendant managed to keep her smile, but I could see she thought I was a little nutty. I mean, who the hell in their right mind would go to a museum when they just married a man who looked like the one I was sitting next to? After she walked away, I turned to Chase.
A Wizard of Oz fan?
Chase grinned.
It's more of a fetish, but whatever you're into.
And who would you be? The Scarecrow with no brain? Where do you come up with this stuff?
I was coming out of the bathroom when you walked onto the plane. Saw those sexy-as-shit red shoes, and I might have had a little role-play fantasy.
I really think you need help.
You might be right.
He leaned close and lowered his voice.
But if you wanted to wear those shoes, pigtails and nothing else, that'd be one happy tin man.
After the flight attendant had brought our drinks and called me the bride, Chase and I had a moment of honesty.
How long are you staying in Kansas?
I asked, reaching down into my purse to grab my chapstick for a quick freshen up. His eyes followed along as I lined my lips.
You use that stuff a lot, huh?
What, chapstick?
Yeah. I've noticed you putting it on a few times.
I'm kind of addicted to it.
I don't like the waxy feel on my lips. You're going to have to stop using it soon.
Let me guess. Because my lips will be smearing it on yours?
Exactly.
Yet another reason why we could never work, I teased.
One of us will get over it.
I shook my head at his persistence.
So how long did you say you're staying in Kansas?
That's up to you.
Up to me.
I didn't lie when I said I tried to not come. The minute I heard you were going out of town, I wanted to join you. Thought about telling you I wanted to sit in on the sessions, but figured you'd see right through that.
So you're saying you came for no other reason but me? He nodded seriously.
Just you.
Is this your normal style? Stalkerish chic?
Not exactly. Which is probably why I have no idea what to do. Avoiding it hasn't really been working.
So what is your style, then, when you date?
How's this honesty thing working for me?
I laughed. Pretty good, so far. Go ahead. I won't judge.
Chase gulped back the rest of his mimosa.
I haven't had to work too hard for a woman's attention.
I would have guessed that. Is that what the intrigue is here, then? A man who wants what he can't have? That's not a novel concept.
His eyes went back and forth, searching mine, and I knew he was deliberating saying something. Eventually, he said,
You're right. I do want what I don't have. That's part of it. But not in the way you think. Don't ask me to explain it, but when I'm around you, I'm happy. That's all I'm after.
His answer caught me totally off guard. Wow, that's incredibly sweet.
Chase took my half-full mimosa from my hand and chugged it before speaking again.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'd be way fucking happy if you were beneath me at night. But you want to keep some distance between us physically? I respect that. Although, I'm going to be right here making it hard for you.
It was my turn to lean in.
Is that in the literal or figurative sense?
Chase still had my hand entwined with his. He pulled it to his chest and lowered it down his abs, stopping just above the top of his pants.
Keep it up. I'm going to demonstrate.
After landing, we caught a cab to the focus group offices and spent a few hours working with the facilitator who would run things the next day. Chase helped set up, but he deferred to me for decisions that needed to be made where I had more expertise.
I liked that in a boss. And a man.
After we'd finished, we stopped by a mall on the way to our hotel since Chase really hadn't brought an overnight bag and had nothing to wear. Inside Nordstrom's, I helped him pick out some casual clothes. While he was in the fitting room, I continued to shop on some of the nearby racks. He walked out wearing a pair of jeans and a simple navy polo that fit perfectly across his wide chest. His feet were bare, and his hair even more mussed than usual from changing. I walked over with a button-up I'd picked out, and Chase held out his arms and did a little spin circle.
Good?
I seriously doubt there's anything that looks bad on you.
I held out the other shirt for him to try on. He reached up over his head, tugged at the yoke of the polo, and pulled it off in that way that only boys remove their shirts.
It was impossible not to stare. His body was just so incredibly perfect. Tanned and lean, every muscle seemed carved into his body. The jeans were a bit loose at the waist and hung low, showcasing his deep-set V. I was pretty sure he had the best body I'd ever seen up close. I had inadvertently licked my lips, and Chase noticed.
You keep looking at me like that. We're going to wind up in the fitting room.
A vision of the two of us in the fitting room, up against the mirror, flashed in my head.
When I didn't respond, Chase knew. He knew what I was visualizing.
My arm was still extended, holding the shirt.
Chase reached out, but instead of taking it, he tugged my hand and pulled me close.
You're fired.
He groaned as he buried his face in my hair.
So fucking fired.
I was one exhale away from giving in when a woman's voice brought me back to my senses. She cleared her throat.
Is there anything I can help you find?
I jumped back, putting space between the two of us, but I was still unable to speak.
Chase answered her, speaking into my eyes.
No thanks. I think I have everything I need.
Our gaze held until he finally said,
Let me go get dressed.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I'll grab you a few t-shirts while you change.
When he turned to walk away, still shirtless, for the first time I noticed a tattoo on his side. I couldn't make out what it said, but it looked like a bunch of writing going up his ribs. Shaking my head as I walked away, still feeling hot and bothered, I thought to myself what an enigma my boss was. A smart CEO with custom-tailored suits, a nipple ring, and tattoo. A man who gets on a plane without luggage and admits he tried to keep away but couldn't stop himself. The only thing holding all those distinctly different traits together was that they all said the man had passion. I could feel that in the way he looked at me. And as much as it turned me on to no end, it also scared the living crap out of me. We were quiet for a while after that. Chase reappeared, fully clothed, and it took us another half hour in Nordstrom's to grab t-shirts, boxers, and sneakers. When we were finally done, the sun was beginning to set outside, and I yawned on the walk to the rental car in the parking lot.
Tired?
A little. It's been a long day. Chase opened my car door, waited for me to get in, then tossed his purchases in the back seat. Before pulling out, he turned to me.
How about dinner at our hotel, then? The website said there's a steakhouse. We can get you fed and into bed.
Into bed?
I meant for some rest, but if you've got something else in mind...
Oh, I had something else on my mind, all right. And it was getting harder by the moment to think of anything else.
Chapter 19. Reese. The hotel gave us rooms right next to each other. After hanging my dresses in the closet, I stripped out of my clothes, pulled my hair up in a ponytail, and took a quick shower. Letting hot water massage my shoulders, I relaxed and thought about how much I'd loved spending the day with Chase. Working side by side, shopping together, sitting in the car as we drove to our hotel... Everything just felt natural. What didn't feel natural anymore was pushing the man away from me. Instead, it felt like I was depriving myself of something that could possibly be really special. Bill and Melinda Gates had started out working together. He was her boss, even. Michelle Obama was Barack's mentor at the law firm where they both worked. Celine Dion married her manager, who was more than 25 years older. Some things worked. Some things didn't. There were more consequences when things didn't last and you worked together, but sometimes the possibilities outweighed the consequences. Possibilities. When Chase knocked a little while later, I had just finished getting dressed. My hair was up in a messy bun, and I'd traded my sleek black suit in favor of a simple jersey wrap dress with a lively print of greens and blues. My red heels were now open-toe sandals. His eyes slid over me.
We could skip dinner.
I shoved at his chest and exited my room without putting on the necklace I was going to wear because I didn't trust myself to invite him inside while I finished getting ready. The way Chase looked at me while we waited for the hostess to seat us, his eyes dropping to my cleavage. I don't think he missed the diamond pendant I hadn't had a chance to fasten around my neck. During appetizers, we talked about the focus group and plans for tomorrow before moving on to more intimate conversation. I was mindlessly tracing my finger through the condensation on the base of my wine glass when Chase reached over and traced the scar on my hand.
It almost looks like a tattoo. Even your scars are beautiful.
I remembered what I'd noticed on Chase's body earlier.
Speaking of tattoos, I couldn't help but see yours this afternoon. Is it your only one?
Chase leaned back in his chair.
Yes.
The fact that he didn't offer more and seemed anxious to move on from the subject made me pry even further. What does it say? They're words, right? He looked around the room, then lifted his drink and took a healthy gulp.
It says, fear does not stop death. It stops life.
I waited until his eyes finally settled on me to speak. Well, I can certainly relate to that. We stared at each other. I struggled to find the right words of encouragement to get him to open up as his eyes left mine and went back to my scar. I hadn't found those words yet when he unexpectedly continued.
Peyton and I went to high school together. We were friends. Didn't get together until my last semester of college. My life was moving really fast by then. I had patents, office space, I was hiring staff.
He paused.
A year after we graduated, I proposed. She died 2 days later.
My heart practically leaped into my throat. There was pain in his voice, and I literally felt tightness in my chest. I'm sorry. He nodded, and again took a minute before continuing.
I was pretty screwed up afterward for a long time. That's why I initially licensed most of my products. I was drinking heavily and knew I wasn't in the right frame of mind to do everything it would take to bring new products into the marketplace myself. Luckily, my lawyers were in the right frame of mind. They negotiated deals where I got a generous royalty just for letting companies use my patents for a few years. I kept my research team, so I had something to focus on. But there wasn't much else I had to do.
Sounds like you did the right thing.
Yeah. In hindsight, I did.
I was dying to ask the question, but wasn't sure what words to use. How did... Your fiancé, I mean... Was she... sick? He shook his head.
No. She was assaulted. 7 years ago next week. Never caught the guy who did it.
I reached out and took his hand. God. I don't know what to say. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
He paused, then said,
It was a rough few years. Even when I began to date again, I don't know that I was capable of doing anything more than... You know...
He gave me a sexy half-smile.
Dating.
You mean having sex? He nodded.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like a total asshole. I never led women on. I just wasn't interested in more than a physical connection. It wasn't intentional. At least, I don't think it was. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't ready to move on. Or maybe I... just hadn't met the right person to move on with.
That makes sense. My stomach was in knots. It wasn't lost on me that he'd said he wasn't ready and he hadn't met the right person, as if those things were past tense. He'd made it clear he wanted me physically almost from the beginning. That was never a question in my mind. I wanted so much to ask if he thought more was possible now, but I was afraid of the answer. I mean, how do you move on, fall in love with another woman when you've never stopped loving someone else? When I said nothing, Chase reached over and put his hand on my chin, gently lifting until our eyes met.
I want more with you. I can't promise you what that is or where it will go. But it's more than just physical. I'm attracted to everything about you. You're smart, honest, funny, brave, a little nutty, and you make me smile for no reason. There's no denying I want you in my bed. I think you've caught on to that part by now, but I want this, too. I'm tired of looking back. It's been a long time since I've wanted to live in the moment.
Wow. I
don't know what to say. Thank you. Thank you for being so honest.
Just then, the waiter came with our dinner. The air was heavy, and I had no idea how to lighten the mood.